Thank you, Lord, for your great word, your grace, your love. May your name be honored and praised, and may all that is within us love and adore you. We ask your Holy Spirit to be our teacher just now, in Jesus' name, amen. In your Bibles, right around the middle, you'll find the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10. While you're looking that up, our topic this morning is an extraordinary woman. Now, I'm behind the screen here today, so I can't see what's happening over there. Can you see the screen? Oop, it's not on. Wait a minute.
No wonder it doesn't work. Yes.
Thank you.
Is that working?
Okay, I hope it's on. There it comes. Slow but sure. All right, do you have it? Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. It's on now. Yeah, it's on. Okay. Is it showing okay? Usually when I do PowerPoint, I can see not only my computer, but the screen, and I'm blind today. Does it say an extraordinary woman? Okay, good. Murphy is not at work. Verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." And as you go down and read all the rest of those verses, you find an explanation, an exposition, if you will, on what are the characteristic marks of a virtuous wife. And if you read those verses very carefully, starting with verse 11, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain." Not just materialistic gain, not just monetary gain, but gain in happiness and gain in all that makes a family a family. And you read down to the end, verse 29, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them." That's where we get excel, excellent, extraordinary. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. Now, I can see as I look out at our congregation and as I meet many of you one-on-one, some of you who have passed the age of 39, have that passing beauty. There's a new richness to the beauty, but it wasn't like it used to be. And I hope none of you grieve over that. Look in the mirror in the morning and say, "There's another one, another wrinkle, another gray hair." And when I remember my first gray hair, and my wife pulled it out. And then a few weeks later, there were two, and she pulled those out. Then there were four. She pulled, and then I had to say, "Stop. I don't want to be bald here. Things are going to be going pretty soon." But it happens to different people. You excel them, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, the picture that you are about to see, you may not agree with what I'm about to say. You may not even have liked this person, and some younger ones may not even know. Who in the world is that? Is that his grandmother? Who is that lady? Well, on April 8th of this year, the news that Margaret Thatcher, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, she had died, and that just went poof, worldwide. Now, the Prime Minister, which she served in that capacity, is a very honored position. It's a very difficult position. She was the longest serving person to hold that office in the 20th century. You got that right. She served in the 20th century. We're now in the 21st, and that still boggles my mind. She served from the years 1979 to 1990. No one lives forever in this world, right? But somehow it seemed strange that the woman who became known as the Iron Lady had succumbed to a stroke. The Iron Lady was no more. A Soviet journalist, Soviet, that's what used to be a conglomerate of Russia and all those communist states, long gone. And some of you may still have the old maps I have an old National Geographic copy, and it says Soviet Union in there, and it's gone. That's mind-boggling. She played a very active role in all that happened to bring that about. And so she was nicknamed by a Soviet journalist, the Iron Lady, because of her uncompromising politics and her leadership style. Some say she was a very hard-nosed woman, very difficult to deal with. I like this picture. It's a little softer of who she really was. She is credited with changing England and, together with President Ronald Reagan, accomplishing the things that certainly changed our world in many ways for the better. But one thing most people never hear about or even know is that Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, was also a mother. And that is extraordinary. What is more extraordinary, perhaps most extraordinary, is that mothers have been changing the world for all of recorded history. All of the world's famous men and women who impacted history and continue to impact history for better or worse had mothers who played a role in their lives. You still looking at Margaret Thatcher? Good, okay. Now look at this. Remember her? None of us know what she looks like. I mean, you can't go online and find a photograph of Eve. We can only imagine what she looks like. And by looking at this picture, we can tell that this was this pre or post fall? How do you know it's post? Because they have clothes on. Very interesting. You can make of that what you will. Yes, but why do we put Eve up here? You know, well, she's the one that got us into this mess to begin with, and Adam went along. He made a conscious choice, but putting that aside, Eve was the mother of us all, and that is extraordinary. We come to this lady. Again, no photographs available. We can only imagine what she looked like. Why is she up there? Well, whose wife did she become? This is a quiz. Keep thinking. Isaac. And you know, from Isaac came gradually Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, and down the line. And eventually you go through the story and you come to this woman that has a whole book named after her and her story. And she wasn't even one of, quote unquote, God's people. A Moabitess from Moab. Ooh. And yet she clung to her mother-in-law and said, I will not let you go. Your people shall be. And people sing that in weddings. Your people, however that goes. And nobody even remembers the song, right? Whither thou goest, I will go. Husbands, is that still true? You know, Ruth, she said, I'm sticking with you. Went back to the land there, ended up marrying a gentleman. And anyway, to make a long story short, she ended up being King David's great-grandmother. And Jesus is attached to the line of David, right? And the tribe of Judah and all of those things. So we know that these people played a significant role. Again, we have no photographs. We don't know what Mary looks like. Just a side interesting note in looking for things online. What would be a good picture of Mary? 99% of the pictures of Mary, even photographs, people dressed up try to look like Mary, they all look very, very Catholic. Did you ever check that out? Did you know Mary was a Catholic? She was. Before Catholicism means what it meant today, because Catholic just means universal, right? She was a part of God's universal people, a very simple, humble woman, chosen by God because of who she was, to be the one who would bear our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's it. She was not deified. We don't pray to Mary to put in a good word with Jesus so he can put in a good word with the Father. We come boldly before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. That Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, you will have it. And the reason for that is, if we're asking in his name and believing in his name, it's usually in tune with his will, because he's the one putting that on our heart. God is not a celestial Santa Claus. Lord, I'm tired of my Volkswagen. Give me something better. Is that what God is all about? Whatever we ask in his name. Don't raise your hand. Have any of you here prayed a prayer like, Lord, From my vantage point, all of that concrete down there on the beach represents tens of thousands of people, most of whom do not know you. Lord, give me Waikiki. Have you ever prayed that? That's a prayer to pray. Jesus said, if you ask in my name, how much of Waikiki will the Lord give you? It's up to him. Mother's Day, as we know it, began around 1908 in the United States, spearheaded by this woman, who was a mother, and you can see her name there, Anna Jarvis. But, you know, it wasn't until around 1914 that the day was officially celebrated nationally as a day to honor mothers. And it is said, I checked up on this because I said, this is interesting. Could it be that it was related? And I found out, according to certain information, that Mother's Day, at least originally, had nothing to do with the roots of pagan fertility cult worship, which always and usually venerate the female power of reproduction and so forth. And you can find a lot. In fact, what reminded me of that is looking some of this stuff up online to get some information, and I always triple check the sources to be sure it's not somebody's weird whatever. You put in there Mother's Day and some of this stuff pops up. Fertility rite, female worship. That's not what it's about. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two parts, two sections. The first four commandments regard our loving relationship with God, and the last six commandments, our relationship with other people, with one another. It is significant that the first commandment in that human relationship section is what? You can see it, read it. Can't hear you. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Wherever you're living, that's what God has given you. And we're all here on planet Earth. That's the land that God gave to the human race, right? Does anyone here want to live longer than you have lived? And if you don't, talk to me later, you know, because every year granted you is not just more aches and pains as you get older. It's God's grace speaking in our lives saying, I have a purpose for you. Your work is not done yet. It's not time to rest waiting for the second coming. You're a part of the action happening now on planet Earth. Whatever that may be, it's an important part. Honor your father and your mother. Honoring mothers is exactly what Mother's Day is all about. But hopefully it is symbolic of the honor that we give to our mothers, not once a year, but every day. Many of us have mothers who have long since passed away, but we remember them and honor them in our memory. Our mothers hold and should hold a special place in our hearts, for without them, none of us would ever have been born. There might be someone here this morning who can honestly say, I never knew my mother. She died in childbirth, very sad. I never knew my mother because my birth had some weird things connected with it. And so I don't know who my birth mother is, my actual flesh and blood. There's all kinds of things, but everybody had a mother. There's no one creating yet, literally test tube babies that not only are conceived but grown and harvested, is that the right word? Born in a laboratory, totally. Unless I missed something. And can you ever thought of that? That's a side note. I probably shouldn't go there because we're run out of time. If and when they get to cloning people, somebody comes in, hi, my name is John. We're clones. What would that do to someone's psychological makeup? Whew, hard to think of. Honoring our mothers because of who they are. Even after the children grow up and leave home, a mother is still a mother. Have you thought about that? I haven't seen my mother in 3 years, somebody says, but she's still your mother. Being a mother is much more than a profession. It is a lifelong commitment. Let me back up on that. It's a how long? Lifelong commitment. When you finish school and graduate, you know, some graduations have been going on recently, and congratulations to all the graduates. And you think, I'm going off to college now, and or I'm graduating from college, and going on to graduate work, and graduate, and now I'm in the field. And we say, thanks a lot, mother, I don't need you anymore. Mother is still mother. And mothers, you probably have your children, sons and daughters, who continue to call upon you. You know, children are born. Oh, isn't it lovely, grandchildren? Oh, I'm so happy. Hey, mom, can you watch them for a couple of hours? You know, here we go again. Usually, though, by that time, you know a little better than when you raised your own, and that sometimes is what makes grandparents, you know, the kids really get to love you and so forth. Hopefully not because we're indulgent, but a mother is a mother and always will be a mother. Your mother will always be your mother. That can't be changed. From Scripture, we learn that a father is to be the priest of the home, leading the family in spiritual things, setting the tone, having backbone, and as the cliche says, being there when you're needed. Nevertheless, we know the reality of our world that too many fathers have failed and continue to fail in that responsibility, leaving even that work to be taken on by the mother in addition to all the other duties that she already has, and most often unnoticed and without appreciation. Mothers, we appreciate you today. Thank you for what you have done, for what you continue to do. And that's cheap to say, thank you for all you've done. More importantly, thank you for who you are. And I think the Lord thanks you for who you are. Remember what Jesus did? Stopped dying just long enough on the cross to honor his mother, who stood there with the young disciple John, and he said, here's your son, here's your mother. Taking care of his mother. What kind of care is that? That really says something not only about our Savior, but about the type of mother that Mary was, that Christ could look down from that inestimable agony, the separation from God the Father, the universe, the creator of the universe was being rent from the heart, and he could look down and say, here's your son, here's your mother. Wow, that's powerful. Long before there were computers, and even after there were computers, I remember computers when everything was with a floppy disk, big old things like this, and you had to keep changing for everything that you did, back and forth, and back. And then they made them smaller, which was great, but it was still back and forth. And then somebody made something called a hard drive. And when I first heard that, we were living in Okinawa, and a Marine guy said, hey, Pastor, you need a hard drive. I said, a what? A hard drive. And I thought he's talking about my head or something, you know. A hard drive? He said, yeah, you don't need to do this anymore. It's all gets right on there. So I went out and I splurged and I bought a hard drive that had 500 megabytes of memory. Now, to those who chuckle know about computers. I mean, a megabyte nowadays, you can barely take a photograph that's that small. In terms of pixels. But then we graduated to 1 gigabyte. Anybody here remember your first gigabyte hard drive? No? Well, you must have jumped in with the bigger ones. Terabyte and all the other stuff now. But why is all of that? Computers can do multiple things. We call that what? Multitasking. Well, long, long before there were computers, mothers were the original multitaskers. From the time they wake up in the morning till the time, and even in the middle of the night while half asleep, they're still multitasking. When you hear from that back room that cooing, wonderful sound that you love to hear in the middle of the night when you're so tired, right? Who's the one that most often gets up? It's the mom. Well, why? The dad says, you have the goods, I can't feed them. Maybe that's why some mothers opt for bottles. No excuse. You know where it is. Go do it, right? I can testify today that I did bottle feed sometimes our sons with Soilac. It's a soybean thing. Anyway, and I did change many, many diapers. Yes, they weren't my own, all belonging to the kids. In the days before Pampers, those of you who remember that, how lovely that was. don't raise your hand, but with the pins and all this stuff, you know, safety pins and poking your finger to, because you stick it under there so you don't jab the kid. And what's wrong with him crying? You pinned the diaper to his belly. What's wrong with you? You just, you know, get it in there softly and putting a little liner in there that makes it easy. And then we were in Japan when our first son was born, and washing machines there were basically a box with a hole in it, and you put everything in and it spins it this way and it spins it that way. And when everything is nicely washed and wrung out, you pull out one end and you have a big knot of tangled stuff. And then you have to untangle all of that and shake each one out one by one and hang all these diapers out and then go through the whole thing again in the next 24 hours. Lovely. But did we complain? No. Did my wife ever complain? Mm-mm. She did 90% of it, plus all the other stuff. Mothers, multitaskers, beginning with morning sickness. Men, how many of you have had morning sickness? And I don't mean before you were converted the morning after you drank too much. No, morning sickness. Only women can relate to that. It affects different ones different ways. You get nauseated at the smell of certain foods. Right, mothers? It took my wife, believe it or not, a couple of years before she could eat soy sauce after the first pregnancy, because that smell of, especially cooking soy sauce, that got her. No soy sauce. And then the weight gain as the pregnancy continues to go forward. And the moving around of the kid, you know, punching and practicing with his legs, and you think, boy, where'd you get those karate lessons from? And that was my liver. What are you doing? And then the excruciating pains of delivery and recovery after the delivery. When the baby is born, and the mother who it's the mother who produces food from her own body, who has to rise in the middle of the night to feed the baby, and as we mentioned, changing the diapers, doing all of those things. Is that a good time for that slide? Happy Mother's Day. This process continues through the day without complaint. She also washes the baby's clothes, which babies have an interesting way of not only filling the diaper, but everything else around it. And so you got to wash all of that stuff and pre-wash it. You don't just throw it in like that, right? She's expected to cook the meals, clean the house, do the shopping, keep herself looking good, and remind her husband of all the kind things. Be a teacher for the children. Take care of the sick members of the family without getting sick herself. If there's an insect bite, it's usually the mother who says, that looks like you got bit by a flea. Oh, no, that looks like a spider bite. How do they know all of that? 24 hours a day. In the church, she's then asked to fill positions of responsibility, as well as more cooking for potluck and even for Mother's Day socials. Interesting. She does all of this without complaining or whining. At least my wife never complained or whined, and I don't remember my mother complaining or whining, and I don't ever remember my grandmother complaining or whining. And she had 17 kids, no twins. No triplets, most of them born at home, on the kitchen table. They lived in the country and they didn't have TV in those days, so yeah. So how is it we come to a time when people talk, well, what do you do? And almost with embarrassment, they say, I'm a housewife or a home, you know. What's wrong with that? Well, it's not a profession. It's not a career. Excuse me? Erase the picture and the impact of mothers. Just, they only bear kids. That's it. After that, it's the state that kicked. Would you want to live in a world like that? You say, well, you didn't know my mother, man. I'm glad she's dead, somebody might be thinking. Okay, maybe that was your mother. But what about mothers in general? Would you want to live in a world that didn't have that loving impact? And yes, there are some mothers that do balance a job to make ends meet and continue to do all that. Multitaskers, wow. Now we move forward here. Who's this lovely lady? This is a little quiz thing here for you. Yeah, Maria Elizabeth. But you know, she was a mother. And this is a painting, I presume, is as accurate as they could get in those days. Anyone want to guess whose mother she was? I'm glad that there was a Mary Elizabeth. Think of our world. Think of our culture. Think of Western civilization. Think of our church Christian experience without this man. Johann Sebastian Bach. You think of da 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 da. No Mary Elizabeth, no da 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 da. That's Jesus, joy of man's desire. Anyway, very interesting. We often don't think about this stuff, but remember what we said? All the world-known people who have impacted the world, for better or worse, had a mother someplace at some time. Next quiz. Look at her closely. Nancy. Whose mother was Nancy? I think I heard somebody say it. Yeah, you can see the resemblance, can't you? Yeah, just, you know, she didn't have a beard, at least we hope not. Abraham Lincoln, what would our nation have been like without that man? And there would never have been that man without Nancy. It boggles the mind to think, do you mean slavery could have gone on much longer? Do you mean, is it possible that it could have survived even into the 20th century? We probably never know. But this man made an impact. Now we go the other way around. You probably know this man, Alexander Fleming. Who in the world is he? Well, he's the discoverer of penicillin. Let's see a show of hands. Who of you here have ever had to take penicillin? Raise your hand. That's looks like about half of the people here. And the other half, there may come a day when you will to fight some kind of infection or something. And it's very interesting that you use this, illiteracy in the field, you use these fungus things to actually help cure disease. That's pretty base, down to earth. But he had a mother. Interesting enough, her name was Grace. And the discovery of penicillin really was like a shot of God's grace to save human lives. Does she look like somebody you know? Pauline. She was a mother. Well, whose mother? Hurry up, Pastor, show us. Stop fooling around here. You all know him. You see a resemblance there? People think of Einstein, right? But they never think of Einstein's mother. There would be no E equals MC squared and all the other stuff, theory of relativity, without Pauline. Thank you, Pauline, for all the good things accomplished. Now, here's a lady whose name I cannot pronounce. Anybody up there speak whatever language that is? It looks like Bronze, you see that letter in there? It looks like a T, but it's not. And anyway, yeah. You see, there's a real European. Did you hear that? Say it again. Says it like a pro. Mother of Madame Curie. Right? You all know who she was? Come on now. You've had history, kids in school. Radioactivity, radiation, all of that stuff, and really putting her own life at risk in the process? Yes. This is a giveaway. She never married. You know the story. Plane disappeared in the South Pacific. Amelia Earhart, circumnavigating the globe. First person, first woman to try to do that, and got lost. And still to this day, in a while, it's going to get close to 100 years. What is it, 90-something years now? They're still trying to figure out what happened to her and on certain island triangulate the direction. And that's probably where the remainder of her plane is. They're still trying to find this stuff out. Some people think that they have. Well, here is Clara. That's a good European name. Whose mother was she? Look at the face. Is it any resemblance there? Even he had a mother, Adolf Hitler. Now, before we jump to conclusions and judge, you know, someone may be thinking, man, what kind of mother was she? She could have been a very nice mother, a very loving mother. Remember, there's some people that make choice. Remember the prodigal son? I'm out of this house. Even though the picture painted there was that he had a loving father who would go out every day and look down the road to see if he were coming back. Now, I don't know how long this woman lived, and if she lived long enough to see, I didn't research that, to see her son rise into that position of power and infamy. If she didn't die before then, she probably died because of it, to see your son become such a monster. But she was a mother. Even Adolf Hitler had a mother. Look closely at the young man by Sarah's side. Look like somebody you have seen in the history books, maybe? No? That's what he looked like when he got a little older. Yeah. FDR also had a mother. And what impact did she have on his life that he could become president that he did, for better or worse, and leading the nation through one of its darkest chapters in history? And our entering into the war began really right down the hill here, right? Pearl Harbor. Now, here's one for you, kind of throwing you a little loop here. We're talking about well-known people. Any idea? Look at her face. Quite a nice-looking woman. That's the best focus I could get. Mother of Gregory Peck. Younger people are saying, who in the world is Gregory Peck? Movie guy, star. Okay, Mary Morrison. You'll probably never guess this one unless you know the history behind it, right? Actually, her son is standing there by her side. The attire that he is wearing should be a sort of a giveaway, but I covered his face right on purpose. Are you ready? Yeah. Even John Wayne, the Duke, had a mother. And here's Nell. Nell. Whose mother was she? Oh, hey, somebody's up on the history there. That's Ronald Reagan's mother. First to be famous for his athletic prowess in his younger days, and then as a radio personality, and then television, movies, and then on to be our, okay, what number president? What number president? Anybody know? Well, here's a hint. What number is Barack Obama? 27th? Good night, we're back in the 19th century. What? Obama's the 44th. So what was Reagan? Yes, 40th. Now, that first name, what ethnic background often uses that name? Jewish. So this is a well-known person. Look at that face. Does it look like, think beard on the face of Leah. Now, if you don't know who he is, you probably know what he did or has done or continues to do. He's a producer, right? Director. Here's another fancy name. Anyone been to that part of the world? We sometimes forget that even people like Mother Teresa had a mother. And she became like a mother to so many others. One more. This particular person actually had two mothers, or two, one who was the actual mother, this person, who really, because of circumstances, did not get the opportunity to serve in that capacity, and it was someone else who basically raised him to be a mother, Joanne. Yeah, Steve Jobs. And one more, this should be very close and special for all of us here today. Here he, there you go. That's not fair, he worked for the conference. Ted Wilson's mom, Neil Wilson's wife. So happy Mother's Day, mothers. It is said, the most important thing that a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Fathers, Is your wife still around? Alive today? Near you today? Love her. Children, your mothers. The more important thing is, one more thing I should say is this, from an unknown author, the little poem, "While we honor all our mothers with words of love and praise, while we tell about their goodness and their kind and loving ways, we should also think of Grandma. She's a mother too, you see, for she mothered my dear mother as my mother mothers me." Grandmothers, would you raise your hand? Okay, yeah, don't be shy. Now, great-grandmothers, would you raise your hands? Ooh, a little fewer there. Are there any great-great? Not yet. Oh, there's a great-great over there. Thank you for being who you are. And we will end with this poem that from those who remember the early 20th century, there's even a song which I'm not going to sing because it's not cool in church. Mother, M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. Mothers, happy Mother's Day, and may every day be a special day for each and every one of you as you continue to bask in the grace and the blessings and the love of God and our dear Savior Jesus Christ. We pause once again, Lord, to thank you for your great grace, your love, your creation, and that we are a part of your creation. You chose to make us, to bring us into being, that we may come to know and serve you and spend eternity with you. And we thank you that along the way, even before there was sin, it was in your plan to have mothers. We thank you that when you chose to enter this world, you chose a way that is actually somewhat strange, to come as an infant. The Lord of all creation came starting at the beginning, where we start, certainly in part to begin the work of salvation from the beginning where things went bad. Lord, we pray that you will make things right in each of our hearts and lives, both today and tomorrow. And we ask that your special blessing, that your touch of grace, and just that warm sense of love and being needed and appreciated would be in the hearts of each of our mothers and grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers alive and with us here today. And with our mothers who cannot be here because they're elsewhere, touch them in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.